Blog Talk Radio.
What's up, everyone? Welcome to Cave Show PLR. This is PLR. It is Thursday, the 30th of September, the last day of the month. Another month just flew by. Crazy. This year's wrapping up very, very rapidly. We are coming to you live from Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco, as we do every Thursday for Cigars with the Cave Show. Sports Talk Radio, and we have a loaded show for you today. You know it's Thursday, so we're going to pick these crazy games. Last week, I gave you some good ones. Those doggone Raiders. I sent the tweet that said I hate the Raiders. They were locked in to cover that 4 points. All they had to do was not give up a touchdown, and they did. Tell you what. Just hate the Raiders. But today we're going to get into the picks. We'll talk a little Ben Simmons, talk some Phoenix Suns. I don't want to talk Chicago Bears. I don't want to. Their coach keeps making me do it, though. And I definitely want to preview the Arizona Cardinals game against the LA Rams. I think this game might be a little bit closer than everyone is thinking it's going to be. But anyway, we'll jump all into that soon. Like I said, this is the Cave Show of PLR, and we are live at Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco, brought to you by Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco, located at 4991 South Alma School. That is Alma School and Chandler Heights. Get down here, make sure you let them know the PLR sent you. 10% off of your cigar purchase. You also can become a club member, get you access to the members' lounge. Everything you need to feel comfortable back there. You also get a locker that backs up to a humidor. Now, if you don't become a club member, that is no issue. Plenty of spots for you to sit, relax, have fun. Watch everything on television. They have all the league packages. Enjoy your cigar. They do serve beer and wine. Sit back and relax. Now, if there's some reason you can't make it down here, there's no issue with that at all. Just go to Stogie World, StogieWorld.com. Same great selection that you'll find here, you'll find there. Order your cigars early enough in the day. They will ship the exact same day. All this happens at Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco. Our call-in number is 917-889-7828. 917-889-7828. A lot of stuff, like I said, a lot of fun stuff to get into today. Tomorrow, as a heads up, we are not live tomorrow. It's the best of show. Yours truly is on vacation. So I'm going to rest and relax and enjoy that and get ready for a big weekend of football. So just so you know, we'll be back live on Monday. There will be a show tomorrow. It's just best of. But we will be back ready to roll Monday of next week, the first Monday in October. With all that being said, do have a call online. Thank you for your patience. Okay, show PLR.
Hey, Paul. How are you?
Hey, what's up, my friend? How are you?
Well, here we are, final weekend of the baseball season. What a strange year it's been. We've seen streaks that have gone, you know, that we haven't seen in years, and we've seen the worst of streaks, namely from the Orioles, ugh, and the D-backs. Okay. But speaking of streaks, the longest streak we've had in 4 years came to an end yesterday, and I thought that would never end.
Specific.
The Cardinals 18 in a row.
Oh, okay, all right. We're on the same page, so I didn't say something different. I know, they got hot at the right time.
Give me a hint. Yeah. Yeah, I'm a little – if it was me playing baseball, you know, I'd be a little worried about, you know, facing the Cubs in the postseason – the Cardinals in the postseason. I mean, how do you handle it?
Well, let me ask you this. How would you like to face the Dodgers 100-win baseball team and have that be your wild card opponent.
Yeah, that's another thing, too, right there. I mean, two teams in the same division with 100 wins. I mean, it doesn't get much better than that. Of course, we've had that before, but there was no wild card. So this makes it a bit more interesting.
Well, here's the part that really gets me, though, more than anything. Could you imagine being the wild card team that wins 100 games and your worst outing of the year is your wild card and you're eliminated?
Yeah.
Because I'm not mistaken.
Too, but yeah.
They're one in stay in, right? If I'm not mistaken, a wild card game isn't a series. It's win or go home.
Well, it's best 2 of 3, I think.
Okay, see, I thought it was win or go home on the first game.
No, I believe they changed that. I believe it's now best of 3.
Okay. Because I'm like, well, that would be crazy. That would really suck for you.
Well, it could be worse if you lose both games. I mean, you had this humongous winning streak, and then 2 games, and you're done. But you know, sometimes even the best teams run out of gas. I mean, ask the Mariners back in 2001, 117 wins, and they still didn't get past the first round. Gee, I wonder if that was against.
Well, two things. Remember, that team wasn't really built for if we're really just being honest, that team wasn't built for the playoffs. That was a regular season win type team. You know what I mean? That wasn't that team wasn't pitching-wise built for the playoffs. They were built for what they were built
wins?
For.
Wow.
Yeah, it's the same in the NBA. The Atlanta Hawks 1 year won 60 games. They weren't built for the playoffs. So – And Lou, actually, no, it is one game. The National League wildcard game is Wednesday, October 6th. The AL wildcard game is Tuesday, October 5th. And then one game, the divisional series start after that. So the Dodgers can, in essence, win 100 and whatever games, have one bad day in the playoffs, and be out.
And we go down, and the whole season gets shot straight to hell.
Straight there. Don't pass go.
Yeah.
Don't collect $200.
Don't collect anything.
So, yep. So, yeah, no, some teams, they can win in a regular season, but they're not built for the playoffs. They don't have the pitching staff built for the playoffs. They don't have a pick number 3 or 4. I know you remember back when the Indians got in the playoffs. I want to say this was in the 90s when Pedro Martinez was still there. And he won like 2 or 3 of their playoff games, and they didn't really have a number 2. It was like, pitch Pedro.
Yeah.
Do what you got to do. Just pitch Pedro. So sometimes it's like that.
Obviously, yes.
So, and that's why when you look at the playoffs this year, when you start looking at teams, there's certain teams I wouldn't want to see when I look at the American League in the playoffs.
No,
I don't want Toronto. I don't want Toronto in the playoffs. With that roster, with that pitching staff, and that hitting, I don't want them.
Yeah.
Especially if they get hot at the right time. I don't want to see the White Sox in the playoffs. They can go 4 deep, pitching wise. You know, I don't want to see Tampa. That has pitchers and hitting.
Not me.
And this is, you know, and this isn't a knock against the Mariners, or the Red Sox, or the Yankees, If they get hot on any given day, they can beat anybody. But the Yankees are station to station. So there's a certain team you just don't want to see.
Yeah, I mean, everybody says that every year. There's always one team you don't want to see and whatnot. But, of course, everybody's got different opinions on that. I still say I'd be afraid to see the Cardinals.
Well, I would. Listen, if you're in the National League, I definitely don't want to see the Cardinals. Now, there's no way in hell I don't want to see that. I don't want to see the Dodgers. I'd rather face the Cardinals than the Dodgers. The Dodgers are going to hit me with
fire. Well, the Dodgers are more your rival, though.
the Diamondbacks don't have freaking rivals. But
same division.
I'm just saying, out of all the teams in the National League, I don't want to see the Dodgers. If one of their frontline pitchers is struggling earlier, they go to another frontline pitcher and another frontline pitcher. With all that debt, I don't want to see the Dodgers. Think about it. Let me ask you, okay? If you had one playoff game, and it could be the Brewers, the Braves, the Phillies, or the Dodgers, what would you want to see the least?
That's a tough one. I really don't know. It's a tough one.
Well, I say give me the Brewers, give me the Braves, give me the Phillies. Don't give me the Dodgers.
Okay. Okay.
250 run differential. 250. Best run differential in the National League. That's the best run differential in baseball. 250 run? Take out their 56 losses, where obviously they're not in the plus. But take those out. That means in 100 games, at least 100 games, there are 250 run differential in the positive. If you just take those 100 games, that's insane. I mean, they're beating the hell out of people. They're beating everyone by almost three runs. That's incredible.
No, that's
incredible. Well, money, resources, and living in L.A. can do a lot of good things for you, Lou.
Right. So could New York.
It could.
Yeah.
So we'll see.
Any big city area. Yeah. Of course, now the lead has shrunk with the Yankees as Toronto beat them last night. Of course. So it's going to come down to the final games.
Yeah, it's going to be a race to the finish. We'll see. We'll see how it goes. Who gets hot?
Yeah.
Who gets the timely hit? Who gets the timely pitching? What happens from here?
We'll soon find out. And, of course, I will be covering that on Saturday's show.
Say that one more time. I'm sorry.
I'll be covering that on Saturday's show, of course.
Of course. Of course.
Yes.
I am on,
vacation. If you're a baseball fan, if you call in, boy, it'll be the best week to call.
Give me a number one more time, Lou, before I let you go.
512-543-4662. 512-543-4662, 5 p.m. my time. I believe 2 p.m. your time.
You forgot something, Lou. Tell me the name of your show.
The Enhanced Sports Show.
There you go. See that assist I threw to you?
Right.
It's like running
right,
point
Paul, guard. Yeah.
All right, buddy. Have a good weekend.
All right, Paul. I hope you call in. All right.
All right. All right, my friend. Thank you.
Let me get out of here.
Good friend of program, Lou. Always good to catch up with him. I wouldn't want to see any shade of the Dodgers. Not a chance. One game? No. Series, something go wrong. One game? Nah. A lot of people would think the opposite. One game, let it all go wrong. That might be the day. Yeah, no. Not me. Okay, show PLR.
Don't just smoke your cigar, enjoy your cigar at Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco, located at 4991 South Alma School. That's on the corner of Alma School in Chandler Heights. There's numerous TVs for viewing while you smoke your cigar, or better yet, become a club member and enjoy the member lounge. That's Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco.
You never know what you'll hear on The Cave Show.
Here's the bottom line. If people were having great sex, we'd have world peace.
You know, one day I was riding around with a friend, and the alarm on my watch went off. And I turned to my friend and I said, "Hey, shut up. Because I need to listen to The Cave Show with PLR.
Welcome back to The Cave Show with PLR. This is PLR. Coming to you live from Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco. Cigars with the Cave Show every single Thursday. You know how we do it here. Weekend is coming. This is Thursday Eve. so ready for the weekend. So ready for the weekend. Make sure that you are checking us out daily. Obviously, you're here with us now live, 1 o'clock. You can also get us a replay at 3 o'clock on KSRN, Casual Sports Radio Network. Make sure you download the app from the Apple App Store, Google Play Store, wherever you get your apps from. Also, make sure you follow us on Spotify and iHeartRadio. Download them and download us. That way you'll get alerted when a new show pops up. You come in and definitely check us out. Don't miss a single episode of the Cave Show with PLR. So you know it's that time of year. Hoops is everywhere. Hoops are around us. Everybody's having training camp. They had media days this week. The Phoenix Suns had their media day this week. We'll get into that in a couple seconds. But everyone is dispatched to Philadelphia. Talk about Ben Simmons. What's going on with Ben? Is he staying? Is he going? Okay, so let me tell you where my mind is. My mind is if a star tells you they want out, get them out. Yeah. All they can do is be a cancer to you. If a star comes to you in the NBA and says they want out, you got to move. This isn't football. This isn't baseball. This isn't hockey. They're going to eat up your cap, and they're going to be a discontent. You got to move them. What's wrong with Philadelphia, though, is you're trying to move a superstar in salary, not in ability. You're not going to get back the hall of riches that you normally would when you move a superstar because you have one that can't really do too much. If you are a house painter in your profession, but you show up at work with two broken arms, well, you may as well stay at home. That's Ben Simmons. He doesn't shoot at all. And this isn't a he can't shoot. This is a he won't shoot. How do you trade $35 million defensive player in today's NBA? What do you expect to get back from? And I think what's happening is everyone in Philadelphia is being clowned. Look, the media in Phoenix is a lot different than the media in Philadelphia. Big difference. Howard Eskin, one of the most respected people in Philly sports, this is what he sent out in a tweet. President Daryl Morey has been given too much credit as president and GM. He has done nothing in his career, left Houston in shambles, and has overvalued Ben Simmons, and now Sixers screwed. Head coach Glenn Rivers has conned us and is a total bullshitter. Not Doc Rivers, Glenn Rivers. It's not nice in Philadelphia right now. It's not nice at all. You have to trade a commodity when it's at its height, not when it's at its lowest, not if you expect to get something for it. Ben Simmons, in all honesty, should have been traded at the latest by the trade deadline last year. But there were games before the trade deadline that Joel Embiid was out and Ben Simmons performed very well. Should have been moved. Now, I'm not saying Philadelphia could have foreseen him completely melting in the playoffs. I'm not saying that at all. But he was at his highest. And you knew what you had. Philadelphia knew what they had, and they refused to pull the trigger. And they have no one. Let me say this. What did Ben Simmons give you to make you think that he was going to be any different? And we all know this. I'm not an analytics guy. But much shooting proficiency did he show you to make you believe that he was going to be more than he was? And I guess I think that's where I get confused. We would say stuff like, when I say we, I mean the media, would say stuff like, look at what Ben did with limited shots. Why were his shots limited? Joel Embiid played 51 games. Why was Ben Simmons limited? I don't get what you're trying to say. Now you're stuck trying to offload this contract. And no one wants to take. He is in the middle of a 5-year, $177 million contract. His base salary is $33 million a year, and all of it is a cap hit. So you've got to bring back someone within 10% of that deal. Who out there in that kind of money that will trade for Ben Simmons? There's two people that come to mind. You go, well, maybe this guy. Maybe Draymond Green. Well, no. Golden State's not making that move. Maybe CJ McCollum. No. Well, I'm not making that move. So who are you going to get? Who's left? So now you got to get into three teams. And you got to get into three bad teams. Not three good teams. Three bad teams. And then you got to say, okay, on that bad team, who do we want? So I'm going to do something that I never do. I'm going to give this list. These are the people. There's only 20 people in the NBA that make more than Ben Simmons. Harden, Wall just floors me. Westbrook, Durant, James, Freak, Lillard, George, Clay, Kemba. Kemba makes $36 million a year. Don't be fooled. Jimmy Butler, Kawhi, Tobias, Middleton, AD, Gobert, Irving, Bradley, Siakam. The only trade that you could make would be Kyrie. Would Brooklyn really trade Kyrie for Ben Simmons? And we'll get into why that would even be a possibility. Then you say, okay, well, it's 10%. I can go lower. Tell me which team would make that trade. Drew Holiday. Milwaukee's not doing that. Devin Booker. Phoenix's not doing that. Cat, Minnesota's not doing that. Porzingis, maybe that should take her. Two injury-prone dudes. One's better offensively. But will he bring to your table what you need? Obviously, Embiid is there. Wiggins, Golden State willing to pull that for basically a head-up? Especially considering Wiggins won't be able to play in San Francisco. We'll get into that. Jokic, Kevin Love, CJ McCollum. Kevin Love is closer to the end of his deal. Maybe you want to eat that contract, but you know Kevin Love's going to play like a half of a game and then be hurt the rest of the year. So it's not like there's a lot. And if you're Philly, the way you've valued Ben Simmons, would Philadelphia, the city, want to bring in a Kevin Love? Who's really not going to play? So you got to think about all this, and the situation you put yourself in. And getting back to Kyrie is not vaccinated. Not sure his status is going to be going forward. He can't play in the building in Brooklyn. And that's why I said he might be viable. Same with Andrew Wiggins. Can't play in his own home building. The NBA came out with a memo that said players that do not play in buildings that they are not allowed to play in if they're not vaccinated will not be paid for those games. So this goes back to what I keep telling people over and over and over. You have a right. The NBA isn't saying these guys can't play. But they're letting them know, and there are certain places, if you do this, we're going to do that. So, yes, everyone has rights. They do. Everybody has a right. There's also a consequence to those rights. Locally here, the Phoenix Suns, getting camp going. Media Day was Monday. A lot of good stuff happened in Media Day. A lot of good fun stuff. Like I said, I have the videos up on Instagram at Sports Cave, Caves with K. But DA stopped and talked to the media yesterday. The training camp was going on. He was talking about the confidence that the Suns now have in him and the difference in the growth. So this is DA talking about, you know, how his role has changed and he can be a little bit more vocal than he used to be.
Yeah, because I'm the one usually, you know, the person everybody tells you to go do everything. Now I'm the one. Hey, listen here, you got to go set that screen, man. You got to set that screen. But, you know, it feels good. And, you know, you can tell my teammates and coaches, they trust me now because I've actually put in the work and, you know, proven to them that they can, you know, just trust me with certain, you know, playmaking abilities and certain decisions I make on the floor.
That trust makes you more confident?
Most definitely. I put a lot of work behind it this all season, man. And, you know, I mean, Coach been talking and I've been telling them the things I want to do. And, you know, that's a step for me where I'm telling the coach what I want to do now. And, you know, just being more of a threat on this offensive end to help my team win.
And how cool is that? Now, listen, let me take you back. 3 years ago, when Monty Williams first got here, I remember this like it was yesterday. It was media day. And someone asked him after DeAndre Ayton's rookie year, how much leadership are you looking to for DA? And this was the year before the pandemic hit. So this is not last full season, but the season before. And Monty said, I'm not looking for him to lead anything. I'm looking for him to be a young kid that's going to grow his game and understand what we're going to do here, what we're going to need here, and get better. No leadership pressure, which was different from the old regime. Every 12-year-old that was drafted had to be a leader right away. But Monty said, no, it's not the culture we're trying to build. So DA is naturally, or the word that's like that everyone likes to use now, organically become a leader on this team. Based on his actions, based on his work, based on his ability to get better. Now he's more vocal. Now he's able to ask for certain things because he's displayed the ability to do and perform at the highest level. So I think that's, honestly, I think that's cool as hell. And I look forward to more from this team. We'll break down all this other stuff later. So much. In terms of how I think every team will do. I know I did that with the, you know, preliminary late earlier, but everything then was then. Things change. Guys get hurt in camp. So we'll see how camp shakes down before I give my final how I think everything will stack up. We come back. He keeps making me talk about him. I don't want to. What is Matt Nagy talking about now? I just don't get it. We'll dive into that as well right here on the Cave Show, PR.
Don't just smoke your cigar, enjoy your cigar at Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco, located at 4991 South Alma School. That's on the corner of Alma School and Chandler Heights. There's numerous TVs for viewing while you smoke your cigar, or better yet, become a club member and enjoy the member lounge. That's Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco.
Hey, this is Mikal Bridges with the Phoenix Suns. I'm in a cave with PLR.
Welcome back to the Cave Show of PLR. This is PLR. Thank you for joining us today. Coming to you live from Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco, just like we do every Thursday. Cigars with the Cave Show. Make sure you get your butt down here and check them out. 4991 South Alma School. That's Alma School and Chandler Heights. Make sure you're checking us out on social media at the Sports Cave on the Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook, as well as our website, sportscave.com. And you can get me directly at PLR on Sports. Yeah, I did some stuff about Days of Our Life on my Twitter. I told you, you never know what you're going to get. Don't judge me. That's my show. Don't judge me. So I don't want to talk about the Bears. I don't. But I have no choice because common sense isn't something that the Bears head coach likes to use. So yesterday, this brainiac comes out, and he's still non-committal on who's starting the game. So you're non-committal on who's starting the game, but in practice, Justin Fields is 100% go. Andy Dalton is very limited, and Nick Foles isn't taking snaps from the first team. So how can all three quarterbacks be in consideration? So I'm listening to these talking heads. Some of them are saying some real dumb shit, if we're really just going to be honest. But these quarterbacks aren't doing really well right now. They're 1-10 in the NFL. Because it's hard for rookie quarterbacks. And only rookie quarterback that won a game so far beat another rookie quarterback. Well, if you're a rookie quarterback, it probably means that you were drafted very high. And if you were drafted very high, that probably means that last year your team sucked. If you look at the teams that are playing rookie quarterbacks, it's because they're on a bad team. The Jets suck. The Bears suck. Those are bad teams. Guess who's playing? The rookie quarterback. Makes sense. We could keep saying New England, Belichick. Bad team. They can't score. What are they starting on? A rookie quarterback. If you are a bad team, you're starting a rookie quarterback because that's who you drafted to start. This isn't rocket science. So I'm confused is when people say, well, you know, if they got to play a vet so they can win. Let me tell you something. If the vet was that much better to produce wins, they would not have needed to draft their future quarterback. When the Dolphins are saying tank for Tua, and they end up getting him around and they show hard and the coach did a great job. Brian Flores did a great job to eat some wins out. But they were still a bad team. And they showed improvement with Tua and a veteran quarterback, Fitzpatrick. But they still played Tua. And guess what they didn't do? They didn't make the playoffs. Joe Burrow looked great last year. Guess what they didn't do? They didn't make the playoffs. Herbert. Out in L.A. with the Chargers. Played last year. Had a good year. Didn't make the playoffs. Rookie quarterbacks don't do that. But now we're getting, oh, we can't play him. It's too confusing. Let a veteran play. If you let the veteran play, you've thrown away the season anyway. That's a wrap. There are certain guys. Anytime you see Fitzpatrick in a place, they're looking for a quarterback. Tyrod Taylor, they're looking for a quarterback. And it's not that these guys are bad quarterbacks. The placeholders. I'm looking around the NFL. There are very few quarterbacks that won their first year. It just don't do that. Love Teddy Bridgewater. Teddy Two Gloves is good. But guess what Denver's looking for? A quarterback. Yeah, well, that they're not going to win. They may not necessarily win every game with their arm. But they're not going to lose games. Yeah, well, you know what else they do? They generally don't win enough games to get you in the playoffs. And if they do, you're usually early out because you don't have one of those guys. So it's not a matter of them taking lumps. It's a matter of the coach that coaches a rookie quarterback on a really bad team probably wasn't going to be there anyway because the team is really bad. So as we go all the way back around and bring it back to this Matt Nagy situation, But he schemed against Cleveland. The Bears would have lost that game. Don't fool yourself. Never once chipped, never once helped off Myles Garrett as Cleveland was on 9 sacks. Never. So what you're going to tell me is, well, Andy Dalton would have read that quicker and got the ball out quicker. There wasn't 3 seconds. There were routes that the Bears were running that demanded 7-step drops against a team with that pass rush with no help, no max protect, no block, no backs chipping, none of that. Wouldn't have made a difference. So now you come into this week, and instead of stating your quarterback, we got to play this game again. I just don't get it. I really don't. Everything is on the table. That's what he said the other day, and that's what he backed up. Everything's on the table.
Again, just to keep it super, super simple, everything's on the table, and I think that that's probably the easiest way to put it, the evaluation part, everything.
Even the evaluation part, everything. Everything's on the table. What the hell?
No, they're all three under consideration right now, you know, in regards to where they're at. So we'll just have to kind of see, Hub, the next couple of days, where they're all at. We know where Nick's at health-wise, but we just want to keep an eye on Justin and Andy, and then for us to stay on that and make sure that that we have a plan for any of those.
The plan should be to fire him. At least tell him you can't call plays. No clue what he's doing. And here's the thing. It's not just about calling plays. It's not. It's about scheming and coming up with a game plan. The Bears have one of the worst game plans every week in the NFL. So no matter what you're scheming, if your game plan is lousy going into the game, doesn't matter what you change up in the game. Makes absolutely no sense. Absolutely no sense. Going over to the Cardinals, I think if there's a game that Kingsbury needed early in the season more than any game, it would be this one. Because this is your measuring stick. You play in the L.A. Rams, who many feel are the best team in football. You never beat McVay. You're on the road. This is the time you show. Because this is the game where they don't say, oh, well, the Cardinals just beat them also Rams. They went on the road and handed the L.A. Rams their loss. As much as I say you don't want to put too much on a game, this early in the season, although the first quarter of the season is wrapping up, you've got to put a lot on this game. And this isn't a, oh, well, we lost, the season's over game. But this is going to tell you who you are. If you can keep Tuff and Woods and Jackson in check, then you start opening eyes. I think Kyler Murray is a leader in the MVP race right now. But these are the games you got to win to be taken seriously. You just have to. There's no going around it. So I'll tell you very shortly how I'm predicting this game, along with other games, as we get into the most fun of the week. First game tonight, Jaguars are at the Bengals. The Bengals coming off a huge Pittsburgh win, 7.5-point favorites at home It's a Thursday night. Jacksonville's the road team. They're bad. They're real bad. Take Cincinnati. The 2-1 Bengals, take them in at 7.5. The Cardinals are going to L.A. to play the Rams. 4.5-point dog. I have a lot of trepidation about this game. Again, like I said, Kingsbury has never beat McVay. Cardinals are on the road. But the Rams are coming off a big victory. Will they come back to earth? Will they play like, we just beat Tampa Bay and have a hangover? I don't think so. As much as it pains me, I think take the Rams, take the points. In a game that you watch only when there's a commercial, Washington football team goes down to Atlanta to play the Falcons. The Falcons are the worst team in the world to bet on. When you bet against them, they win. When you bet for them, they lose. Washington quarterback play, sketchy. Falcons are at home. They're a 1.5 dog at home. As much as it pains me to say it, take the Falcons, upset win. The Bills are playing the Texans. They are a 16.5-point favorite. This isn't Alabama playing Vanderbilt. I thought all these guys got paid. Basically, a 16.5-point spread is a 27-10 victory. Can you see it? That is sad. Here's what makes it even more sad. I'm going to say take the Bills. And I honestly can't believe I'm saying that. Take the Bills in the 16.5. The Panthers, undefeated Sam Darnold, goes into Dallas to play Cowboys. Cowboys have looked impressive. They beat them also, Rams, though. They're a 4.5-point favorite. I think that's too many points. And with saying that, take the Cowboys anyway. Eat those 4.5. Dolphins are playing the Colts in Miami. Carson Wentz is a quarterback. Take Miami. No faith in Carson Wentz. Browns go up to Minnesota to play the Vikings. Doesn't look like Dalvin Cook is going to play. Browns are favored by 2. Yeah, I mentioned Dalvin Cook looks like he's not going to play. Take the Browns. Take 2 points. Giants Saints. Saints, 7.5-point favorite. Giants play hard. I don't like that many points. Take the Giants, even though they're in New Orleans. Titans go to New York to play the Jets. They're a 7-point favorite. Have you watched the Jets play? Fun fact, Jets used to be the Titans, and now the Titans are in Tennessee. Tennessee's favored by 7. Take that. Run with it. Take that. Chiefs go to Philadelphia to play the Eagles. They're a 7-point favorite. Can I believe I'm saying this is a must-win? Are the Chiefs really the must-win game? Yes. And I think this week they show up and show out, take 7. Seahawks go down to San Fran to take on the 49ers. 49ers end up. Seahawks can't stop anybody all of a sudden. They keep surrendering big leads. They're a 2.5-point dog. Take the Niners. Take those points. Ravens go into Denver. Denver's a 1-point favorite. To me, this is a pick 'em game. If this is a neutral field, the Ravens are favorite. If it's in Baltimore, the Ravens are favorite. Pick 'em games I hate, flip the coin. I'll say the Ravens are going to win outright. Steelers go into Green Bay. 6.5-point dog. Yeah, this should be a 10-point dog. Take those points and run with it. The Bears are playing Detroit. Usually this is just the game that the Bears win. That son of a gun coaching in Detroit, though, has them playing hard. They're not good, but he has them playing hard. I have the Bears losing at home in my upset. Lions over the Bears. And maybe this is a week the Bears get shake that albatross of a coach, Matt Nagy. Sunday Night Football, this is my lock. Tom Brady is going back to play New England, Foxborough. All eyes will be on that game. Belichick the scheme all he wants. It won't matter. Rookie quarterback. Injuries in the secondary. Not enough. Buccaneers are going to score up and down the field. Tom Brady has been waiting for this. And they're a 7-point favorite, which means at home they'd be a 10-point favorite. Excuse me, a 13-point favorite. 10 on neutral site. Give me Tampa. Easy. This is a lock of the week. And then the Raiders go into L.A. to play the Chargers. Find out if the Raiders are for real. Chargers are favored by 3. Chargers always find a way to lose these type games. I'm going to take the Raiders to cover, although I hate the Raiders. They got me last week. There you have it. I just put some change in your pocket. This segment was brought to you by Scott and Sullivan Wine Consultant, Tina Calhoun. Tired of wines having preservatives, additives, all that crap in it? Well, if you go with Scott and Sullivan, Tina Calhoun will get you the wine the way it should be made. No additives, no preservatives, no extra sugars. Just give her a call at 602-410-4821. 602-410-4821. So yours truly is taking tomorrow off. We'll have a best of show lined up, ready to go for you. I appreciate you hanging out with me this week. A lot of fun shows and just a lot of topics, a lot of topics. And I owe you one more. Since we are not on, I apologize. I owe you the five college games so you can keep your gambling going. I apologize. So, let's do it. Iowa, number 5, Iowa goes to Maryland. Maryland's 4-0. Don't let the record fool you. Iowa's just a flat-out better team. They'll win that game handily. They're favored by 3. Go ahead and take Iowa over Maryland. ASU goes to UCLA. UCLA took a bad loss. ASU got a good win against a bad team. They're in L.A. There's always trepidation when the Sun Devils go to L.A. UCLA's favored by 3. I think they'll win by more than that. Take UCLA and take the 3 points. Notre Dame is at home against Cincinnati. 7-9. I really just think Notre Dame is a very, very good football team. I really do. I don't see any way they lose this game. They're only favored by, they're a point and a half dog at home. I just don't see that. Take Notre Dame and that point and a half. Oregon goes down to Stanford. Stanford always plays tough, always plays tight. I just don't think they have the weapons to hang with Oregon, especially 8 points. Give me Oregon and give me those points. Oklahoma, bad offensive line, really good quarterback. Who knows what the quarterback situation is going to be. Kansas State playing better. They're at home. OU is favorite by 10.5. I like K-State to cover. Oklahoma to win, K-State to cover. And here's a bonus, baby, for you. Florida favored by 7.5 against Kentucky. Last I checked, they weren't playing basketball. Take Florida. Take those points. There's your 5. Now, I really did give you an opportunity to make some money. Until next week, everyone, thank you for hanging with us. Make sure you're following us on social media at Sports Cave, on the Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook, sportscave.com. Our website, remember, all caves are with the PLR on sports. It's where you can get me at on the Twitter. Replay at 3 o'clock KSRN. We're also on iHeartRadio and Spotify. Just follow the Cave Show brought to you by the Sports Cave. And there we are. Like I said, until next week, everyone take care. Take care of each other. Be good. Be safe. The devil known as COVID is still out there. Until Monday, next live show, then the K Show with PLR. Tips, bring us home.